That's Trump.
I think maybe these people are not normal people, Stas. When they talk about sending troops to the Hawk Island, they know that would be a huge trap for the US troops to be there, to be slaughtered by Iranian air power. And so maybe they want that. They want to make these sort of huge casualties in that island to change the public opinion in the United States to try to do, because nobody's supporting American war in the West Asia so far. That's why what you do, you take huge casualties, you may put pressure on the society and say, look, we're taking casualties. Let's do something about it. I don't see even in that scenario, the United States would prevail or would have some sort of upper hand on Iran. If let's assume they're sending their troops to the southern part of Iran, that's not going to help them. I don't see any sort of military outcome for them, positive outcome for them.
If Trump's plan is if Trump's plan is to take casualties to try to change the support of for this war in America, then he's even dumber than most people think. This is the most since census started being taken about wars in America. This is the most unpopular war. This war is 1% more unpopular right now than Vietnam was. And Vietnam didn't become like that from day one. Vietnam grew to that point. Yeah, you had the draft, you had this, that. Unpopularity was several years into Vietnam. This was this unpopular from day one. This is why they kept changing reasons for why this war happened. This, it's that, it's this, it's that, it's anything. Because they didn't know how to solve this war. I mean, there's a reason for this war because Netanyahu said, freaking do it. And the US said, okay, yes, Massa. We do what you want, Massa. We come to you, Massa. We kiss your feet, Massa. Yes, Massa. We go fight war for you, Massa. That's a US response. But that, well, the US government response. But the people, you kind of got to drag them along, and they're kind of like not interested. So you try to trying to sell it to it. Oh, it's Iran has nukes, or Iran is terrorist, or Iran's been fighting us for 47 years, or Iran's just about to go kill the president, or Iran's just gonna, take a big dump into everybody's Cheerios. It's whatever they can think of. They don't know what to do. Nothing works. They're at a point where there's a English saying, throw shit at a wall and see what sticks. And they're at that point, you're just throwing shit, nothing's sticking. It's a Teflon wall. Nobody is, except for the diehard MAGA cultists, nobody's buying into this. Well, except for some senators on both and Congress and members of the House of Representatives at both parties who are getting well paid by Israel and the military industrial complex. But none of the regular people are buying into it. They're going, yeah, no, we still don't like this war. We don't want this war. We have issues at home. Our gasoline's getting more expensive. Our food is getting more expensive. I'm making less money. No, we don't like this war. And they keep trying. They don't know what to do. They're lost, but they won't quit. That's the damn thing. I mean, when you have Kagan, that ultra neocon, saying, maybe we should leave, But we've got Trump's ego, we've got Trump's dementia, we've got the neocons around Trump, which is basically everybody, just like Trump won, by the way. Trump won came in with a good team, and within a year there were none of them left. Who's left from the good team? We got Vance, kind of, maybe. I don't know, but it's hard to fire the vice president. But you can, vice presidents in American history are nobodies. That's historically speaking, a vice president is nobody. He gets shoved into a closet somewhere because the Constitution says you have to have a vice president, and they just get ignored. Who else you got? You got Kennedy. He's been neutered. He's been fighting the big pharma and big food, and he's basically been neutered anyways. And that's it. Everybody else is now neocons, just like last time. And they're all giving the same advice. Hey, maybe we could do it this time. Yeah. We've got like five new. We got five more tomahawks we've built over the last month. Let's that'll do it. That'll do it. And they keep trying. They keep trying very stupidly.
As you've mentioned, somehow when you were talking about the neocons in the United States, or those who are supporting the war, you mentioned that one of them is talking with Jesus right now. which you mean that is Lindsey Graham, as we know, he passed away in Donald Trump said last night he was informed last night at 1 a.m. he was informed about the, you know, the death of Lindsey Graham. But here is what our mutual friend Larry Johnson wrote. It says Lindsey Graham died in Kiev, not in Washington, D.C. He arrived in Kiev on the morning of the 10th of July. The trip to Kiev entails flying to Poland and then taking an 8 to 10-hour train ride. He was visiting a drone factory in Kiev that was hit by Russians. He didn't have enough time to depart Ukraine on Saturday morning, take the train to Poland, then catch the flight back to D.C. And it seems that he passed away in, based on what Larry Johnson said, he passed away in Ukraine. The guy is so important because he was supporting basically each and every war.
Absolutely. You know,
when it comes to Ukraine, when it comes to the West Asia, and every time against China, it doesn't matter. Whatever they want, a new war, he was all out for the war. And he was in, as Larry Johnson just mentioned, he was in Kiev. And he was talking about in Kiev. There is a video of him, footage of him in saying, I'm going to get back to Washington. We're going to put more sanctions on Russia to put pressure on Russia. What is your understanding of how do you feel about the way that these people who were pushing for war, one of them is out right now, Lindsey Graham. He's so important. You know that. You know how important he was. He was basically the mastermind behind the sanctions on Russia, together with Blumenthal. Go ahead, your understanding of that.
Yeah, what's amazing with Blumenthal is his son turned out to be a very good human being, while Dad is a psychopathic, corrupt little bastard. So, you know.
But he's the father of Max?
As far as I know, that is his father. I may be wrong, but as far as I know, either way, it doesn't change the fact that
Max is amazing. Max is
So Lindsey, you know, from where I've been here in Washington, is in a frenzy. Hasn't been this frenzy since McCain went to see Saint Bandera in hell. So I guess he's got a nice place that he's prepared for his girlfriend Lindsey there. You know, the church says, you know, and properly, that anytime somebody dies, it's a tragedy. The tragedy is that that person did not take time to go with God and to be a good human being and to promote peace and all that. But it was instead a megalomaniac. Well, I won't say megalomaniac.
Max is the son of Sidney Blumenthal, not
Richard
Blumenthal. It's different.
Okay, yeah. My bad. Thank you for correcting me. I know.
Okay.
For some reason, okay. That doesn't change my opinion of the Congress critter Blumenthal. You know, and you're right. First, it was McCain that was leading all these efforts. McCain went to have a little talk with God, and now Lindsey took over the mantle, his little buddy sidekick, and now Lindsey's gone, and yeah, that is a panic. What was Lindsey doing in Kyiv? I don't know, but back in November of last year, Lindsey went to Kyiv for 3 days for meetings. And published an expense report. True, Lindsey was staying at the penthouse in the Radisson, but for God's sakes, how expensive could that be? Well, over 3 days, Lindsey had spent $800,000. There's expecting the taxpayer to compensate him on $800,000. I guess the escorts are really expensive, and probably the Colombian marching powder is too. You know, whether Lindsey got was in that drone factory when it got whacked, we don't know. Or maybe Lindsey picked up something else along the way. You're probably right, because you know the media is he died from a short and sudden illness. Yeah, that's kind of a heart attack. Yeah, short and sudden. Massive cardiac arrest. Whether he died in the U.S. or not, I don't know. And Larry is right. The trip is pretty long. You're not flying out of Kyiv. I guess he could have flown out of Kyiv, but I don't think he did. Timelines don't make sense. But for the public in general, they'll have to do. Did the world breathe a little fresher air and sigh a little lighter? I think it did. Yeah. I think it did. You know, would it have been better if he'd become a good human being? Of course it would have been better. And let him have a long life as a good human being. He wasn't going to become a good human being. He was a monster. He was happy to send anybody else's kids off to die because he was making money off of it. Did that money save him? No. Did that money save his soul? No. Did he take that money with him? No. Was that money worth it? You know, I guess he has to decide on that. But that fact that he was a warmonger, that he was a war profiteer, this guy pushed genocide, the Israeli genocide of different nations, the genocide of Russian population in Eastern Ukraine. And not only, I mean, he pushed genocide on the Serbs. This guy was a psychopath. One that had a lot of demons in his closet and one that made a lot of money. And in the end of the day, you ain't taking it with you, baby. You're going out just like you came in with nothing except whatever karma you're carrying on your soul.
Yeah.
Not that anybody in Washington's going to notice or understand that. That's well, I won't say nobody, but the majority of them won't. That's too deep for them, I guess, I think. They're gonna go. Lindsey's out. That. Maybe I can make some of his money now.
Yeah, they. I think this is so sad for Zelensky and for Benjamin Netanyahu. They have lost a very, very important support and very important, you know, character in Washington. He was, by the way, he was so smart in connecting with both Republican and Democrats. And Donald Trump mentioned that in his interview just moments ago, just hours ago. He said whenever he had some sort of problems with Democrats, Lindsey Graham was the guy to do that, to resolve that. It shows how important, because he was so close, you remember, with the Biden to the Biden administration. And he basically was some sort of hybrid force, you know, not Republican, neocon. We can call it neocon because neocons are not Republican nor Democrats. They're basically playing both sides.
Trotskyites.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good Russian saying, "Деньги не воняют," money doesn't smell. So, you know, the Democrat, Republican, you throw enough cash in their way, most of them will bend over any which way you want. You know, they're ambidextrous. This guy was scum. I mean, let's be realistic. This guy was scum. He has the blood of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of innocent people on his hands. At the end of the day, there will be another American Congress critter that will come up and take his place. Unfortunate part, because that's the system that the U.S. has. I encourage the people of South Carolina to pick a normal person and elect a normal person you can actually be proud of now that that parasite is out of the way. But we'll see.
He was the senator of the North Carolina for more than 20. South Carolina for more than 23 years.
I know. Try getting him out.
An official for more.
When they get elected in the Senate, you cannot get them out. They're worse than a tick. Unless they leave on their own, you pretty much cannot get an incumbent senator out. I mean, I don't know what they have to do. Go set up an altar to Satan in the middle of Washington, D.C. and start sacrificing children. And that probably still wouldn't work to get them out. They could probably do that. That's how democracy works. unfortunately.
Yeah, here is what Ursula von der Leyen posted. And my condolences to Senator Lindsey Graham's family and loved ones. Senator Graham fought until the very end to support Ukraine's fight for freedom and raise the cost of Russia's war of aggression. He worked tirelessly to strengthen sanctions in close coordination with the EU, a determined and fearless leader. He will be deeply missed. I'm sure that she's already missing Lindsey Graham, because he was so important for their position.
And you know, Zelensky said he's going to miss his talks. So I guess him and Pookie Face Ursula are going to have to get together in bed again and discuss their pain together. Did you hear? It was Yulia Melnik, Meldison, well, the former PR girl that ran away. She busted the secret that Zelensky and Ursula are having a love affair.
Oh my God!
So think of that. Little pooky faces coming from Ursula. That's a sight nobody's going to get out of their heads ever again.
That is. Yeah.
Yep. There's Ursula for you. And Netanyahu said he lost a dear friend. So, you know.
Yeah. But he has alternatives in the United States. We know that how.
Oh, he doesn't have to go that far. He's got Huckabee sitting under his arm.
Yeah.
He's got the American, he's got the Israeli ambassador to Israel sitting right there. Huckabee.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
American ambassador to Israel. The guy is so much Israeli. I would say the guy is Israeli, is not American. Whenever he talks.
Oh, yeah.
Our existence is dependent on Israel. I don't know what does that mean. Israel is just 48 something. It came into existence in 1946-7, and he's talking about the United States, which was 250 years ago. How do you bring those two pictures together?
It's dispensationalism. They take the quote that he who blesses you will be blessed by God when God promises to Abraham and his descendants. Of course, Abraham had a lot of descendants, because he wasn't just the Jews. It was also the local Arabs who were descendant, supposed to be descendant from Abraham. Are they? Are they not? I don't know. But there was actually a genetic study done of original.
Abraham was Middle Eastern. You have to understand.
He was a Semite. I mean, the Jews are Semites. The original Jews are Semites, just like the Arabs, just like the Sumerians. Mm-hmm. There are different waves of Semites. It's like, you know, Poles and Russians and Bulgarians are all Slavs, but they're different nations, mm-hmm. different nationalities. There was a study done between Sephardic Jews, the original Jews that were living in today's Israel. And the Arabs, the Arabs in that area, because the Arabs are also different, depending on whether you have, because they've intermixed with different peoples too. And they were found that there was almost no genetic difference. Genetically speaking, there were no genetic. Now, the people that came, the Ashkenazi, they're heavily mixed in with various European nationalities. And as far as I know, the checking your genetics is illegal in Israel. So it may open up some very uncomfortable doors that changing names closed.
It seems that it's forbidden in Israel to take a DNA test.
Yeah. So the Middle Eastern or the Eastern Jews are second class citizens in Israel, and the Ethiopians are basically almost a third class citizen. Because they're not the Eastern European or the English Jews that are heavily mixed in with those nationalities. So it's their own, and this is to other Jews. We're not even talking about Arabs or other nationalities in that area. We're just talking about, you know, people that consider themselves Jewish, supposedly this one big a happy family, but the reality is very, very different. So it is what it is. It's a dysfunctional society. It's a dysfunctional society that's extremely violent.
And plus, there is an article in, you know, there is a joint investigation by Der Spiegel, The Insider, and Le Monde. They're basically, they have come out with a new title. You remember Iran being the acts of evil by George W. Bush, and he said that Iran the acts of evil. Right now, they're talking about Russia and China are coming together. They're extensively, you know, they have some projects, some sort of cooperation between the two. So this is the new acts of evil, Russia and China together. And
of course.
What is the mission of the new acts of evil? And it, when it comes, it's in, this investigation shows that they're cooperating in terms of the, you know, countering Western weapons, disrupting Starlink, training Russian drone operators, and jointly developing advanced missile defense systems. This is the investigation of these three outlets. And go ahead, your understanding of that.
Well, of course, you know, anybody that stands in the way of global hegemonic liberal democracy in all of its beauty, like the basically chat GDP surveillance for the EU, the limited. There's three people in Berlin or in Germany are being criminal cases against them right now in court, facing up to 5 years in jail for reposting RT articles. You know, this is all democracy. And if you stand in the way of this and the 180 genders or 200 genders, or 500 genders, whatever the gender specialists will tell you, if you don't want your little boy's nuts to be chopped off after hormonal blockers have destroyed him internally, if you stand against all of that, you know, you're part of the axis of evil. I mean, what else can you say? Get on your knees, surf. Give us everything we want.
No, you have to disarm. You know, you don't want to be the axis of evil. You have to disarm. You don't have to have any sort of capability to defend yourself.
Go out into whatever square is the main square of your country and commit mass suicide, and then we'll forgive you.
Yeah.
So that's negotiations Western style.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Assas, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
Same.